Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Would you stand your feet now and we're going to look into the Word of God this morning. I believe God has got something for us. And we're going to go to First Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. Then we'll go into Isaiah chapter 59, verses 16 through 19. My title today of this message is Raising Up the Standard. And so we'll start in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did at Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. No, my sons, for it is not good, the report that I hear, you make the Lord's people transgress. Now we're going to... Now I'm going to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. He saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, coastlands it will fully repay.
So shall it be in the Lord who blesses, and his glory will rise.
Son, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we want to talk about the standard. We want to talk about the place we're trying to attain to, or the place that you set in motion for us as people, that we should live up to a standard in our lives. But Lord, I pray that through this message today, it will begin with, not just with a conversation, but with a commitment to, from this day forward, to realize that there are standards that you have for us. And when the enemy does come in like a flood, you will raise up a standard against it. You'll raise up the righteousness, the power, the purity of God's people that will say, oh no, it goes no further. And Lord, I pray today through the power of your message, it'll reach into the hearts of those who have been wandering in the wilderness of confusion, and they will find a place of rest in you. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this: we're raising the standard. Go ahead, you can be seated. Some of you are saying, what did we just do? First of all, I want to tell you what this message is not. It's not putting on you a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. Because I know that doesn't work. I was raised in a holiness church as a kid, and we had a bunch of thou shalt nots and wish you coulds. Come on, work with me, folks. Every week in Sunday school, they list all the things you shouldn't. There'd be an interrogation of whether you went across the line. Yes, sir. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. It didn't stop us from doing it. No, we just got a little sneakier. That's all we did. Yes, we did. Listen to me as I read this introduction. The post-Christian world is a term that is thrown around by Christians and non-believers to describe the spiritual climate of America. Statistics regarding biblical knowledge and the church influence in our culture would easily reinforce this philosophy. However, before we give up hope, we should take a good look at the Holy Spirit's response to a world in desperate need of hope for a society ripe for the influence of a supernatural move of God. Now, you say, what is that? What are you talking about, post-Christian world?
For those of you who don't know what that means, it means we pass, Christianity's passé. We left that somewhere behind. Christianity is not relevant today. It's the culture that's relevant. It's what people need and what people want and what people like. It's the media. That's the culture today. That's what we subscribe to. Well, I got some questions for you. If you believe that, here's some things that maybe it'll help you. First of all, are you willing to take a fresh look at the standards of behavior that you have adopted in relationship to your walk with Jesus? Are you willing to take a look at it and examine? Why do you do what you do? Why do you feel free to do what you do? Or how about this? Does the term post-Christian evoke a response of resonance in your spirit, prompting you to take action as a believer to stem the tide of the enemy's influence? Or are you just going to accept, well, this is what it is. This is the way it is. This is the way it is in America today. Or how about lastly, consider this. Are you willing to live your faith in the culture and the context of standards that reflect a total surrender to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask that question again several different ways during this morning. But before I even launch into this message, I heard something the other day, and I got to say something about it. I was talking to a person who was kind of struggling with different things in their life. And so we had a little conversation, young teenager. And he says, yeah, I smoke pot. I said, what? He said, well, yeah. He says, it's just a recreational drug. I said, what? He says, it's just recreational. He says, haven't you read the media? Marijuana isn't as bad as you think it is. It's just recreational. And you know what? He believes that. He honestly and truly believes that. It's just something I do. It's kind of relaxed. Just kind of kick it with my friends. I said, so I suppose I should take a toke before I speak on Sunday. Get a little enlightenment before I stand before you. Oh, no, don't do that. Then what you doing? Come on, that is what I'm talking about, the culture. This post-Christian thing that you don't have standards, you don't have things that you just don't do it. But when the culture, when the government signs off on it, is trying to sign off on it, then it must be okay. Well, we got to jump into this real quickly. Well, we must have a standard of righteousness that is based on eternal values. That's really what we're coming to. And in Isaiah 59, verse 21 says this. I guess we got it up on the board, but we'll do it this way. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit is upon you, and my words I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. It looks like God is saying, what I said today, I mean it tomorrow. I mean it for your kids and for your kids' kids. I haven't changed my mind about anything. But culture will tell you, well, you know, that's irrelevant. That's for your grandma and for your grandpa and from those people back there. But things have changed. No, they haven't. God is still God of all the universe. And he has standards. He has expectations. And he should. Well, the Spirit of the Lord lives and abides within your heart. In other words, the culture of our society is resistant to embrace standards of behavior. They just don't. I can't remember the particular words that they use, but they have a particular word they use now with students in school. And basically it describes, and they use one of the, he has CH something or other, blah, 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 which it boils down to is the boy's out of control. But they've labeled it as a particular illness. And they labeled it as a malady, and they labeled it as a behavioral situation that he doesn't have control over. It's just the way the culture is, and he has this particular C, da, 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 da. I think, what is wrong with you folks? He needs Jesus, and he needs discipline too. He's just finding himself in the culture. No, he's not. He's finding his way in the way the devil is using folks. And you know what? I found out the Bible's no means no. Doesn't mean try me later. No means no is a complete sentence. Did you hear what I said? Don't need nothing before, don't need nothing now. No is a complete sentence. Come on, work with me, folks. We're going to get deep today, okay? Standards of behavior for the world are variable and tethered to personal beliefs and feelings. We don't want to damage your psyche. You know, I'm going to damage your behind if you don't straighten up. Your psyche will be intact, but I'll tell you what, your body's going to be hurting. Some things you need to leave an impression. Go ahead, send me some letters. I don't care. The devil would like believers to think that the spiritual climate of America can survive is better off without Christian standards. Really? Have we gotten better? As a believer, we should choose to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us in tune with the Lord. And let me show you how that works. The constant presence of the Holy Spirit will give us direction in every aspect of our life. If you're in doubt as to whether or not you should do it, would you consult with the Holy Spirit first? You don't have to call me, you don't have to call one of the other elders and this type of thing. Would you consult with the Holy Spirit? And you know, the Holy Spirit is the umpire of your spirit. It'll show you a strike, show you a foul, and he'll say, and three strikes, and you are out. Because he doesn't have to mess around. We'll get into our story with Eli in just a moment, but there's some things that he missed along the way. He will put his words in your mouth that have been deposited in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And the word of the Lord will be a constant resource and reinforcement to the standards to live by. The word of God will be, not somebody's ideology. Well, what does that mean? There's only one standard that is worthy to be raised over our lives, and that is Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's go in the word of God. It says, John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. Here we go. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying the death he would die. And so Jesus says, if I be lifted up, in other words, lifted up two different ways. Once he was lifted up on the cross for all of your sins and for mine. But as a result of that, men have been drawn to him because of his sacrifice that has atoned for everybody's sin in this room right now. Had not Jesus gone to the cross, you'd still be in misery trying to figure it out. But unless he died once and for all. So that's been taken care of. And as a result of that, he will draw all men unto himself. I want to let you know, Jesus is the divine standard for everybody. Our endeavor is to be like him and no one else. Because he's the only one who's the perfect sacrifice, who showed us how we can live in connection and be pleasing to the Father. And that's so important for us to do. Well, the constant presence of the Holy Spirit can do that. The standard of Jesus being lifted up is our willingness to die to the flesh. The type of expression that is allowable today is, it astounds me. The way that I believe that people are just left untethered at all. And they say, well, this is a matter of expression, and the things are, it's, and a lot of it's been attributed to mental illness. But you know something? I'm not believing a lot of that. I'm sure there's valid, and please do not mistake the fact, I know there's genuine mental illness. But I know a lot of this is neglect of standards. It's a neglect of people not telling them, oh, this is wrong, this will always be wrong. It will never be, you'll never be able to reform it into your own image. Well, look at this. We are committed to serve the Lord, and we will be willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord's sake. Sacrifice isn't a part of the picture. That when a person's trying to find their own identity, and their identity may be, in opposition to yours. So it's a battle as to who gets to win. Unfortunately, the lack of restraint is taking over our culture. And so we're adjusting and constantly adjusting, trying to fit and trying to make things work and trying to make people feel comfortable with themselves and all this other type of thing. I want you to understand, I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just letting you exposing to you that this is not the first time it's happened. It happened a long time ago. At the very beginning and the end of our standards of conduct as believers is a willingness to crucify that flesh. Well, here we go. Jesus deserves our very best and no less. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 21 through 24. This is great. Now Aruna said, "Why has my Lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." And Aruna said to David, he says, "Let my Lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing implements, and the yokes of oxen for wood. And these things, O king," Aruna has given to the king. Go on to the next verse, please. And Aruna said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." Watch this. Then David said to Aruna, "No, I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. You know what our problem is? We don't want to give up nothing. We want it for free. We want to offer something to the Lord that costs us nothing. I don't mind coming to church as long as you have it at 9:30, so I won't miss all the various playoffs that are happening with football. That's over with now. We're waiting for the Super Bowl now. Some of you, and this is nothing wrong, the Super Bowl doesn't start until late in the afternoon, but you say, "Oh, I got to be there for all the preliminary stuff. I can't come to church next week." You smile at me. I know that's your plan. "I can't be here next week because I got to make hot wings for the party. Oh, come on, work with me. I got to have the table all ready so everybody will be able to have all the things that they need." You need to stop and think about what you're doing. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter who wins, you don't get nothing out of it. They're not going to send you a check. Stay away from the mailbox. Ain't nothing coming for you. But you will alter your life. I'm not mad. I'm just letting you know. But anything we offer to the Lord ought to cost us something. But we've been chumping God for so long, it's ridiculous. "Well, I can go this week because, you know, such and such, you know, it doesn't interfere with my schedule." I'm going to leave that alone for a minute. I'll be back. Our worship is more than a declaration from our mouth. Our standard of giving to the Lord must be in tune with what would exemplify purity of heart and true devotion to Christ. Well, what about this? The standard of our worship should be Jesus always comes first. I said it. Everybody say, "Always."
Always.
Comes first.
Only one.
His name is Jesus. I want to indoctrinate you with that because it's the absolute truth. If he's not first of all, he's not Lord of all. Second place, he doesn't fit in that particular category. What does that mean? It means he deserves the first fruits of everything. I'll talk about giving in a minute because I know you know I'm going there. I'm going there. Yes, I will, but later on. I got to soften you up a little bit. Okay. He should be the first person we talk to every morning, not the barista at Starbucks. "Oh, let me help you today." Some of you are in a drug-induced coma until you get your Starbucks. Haven't said nothing to Jesus or nobody until you get that down, and all of a sudden you come alive. I got news for you. Jesus should be the first person on your mind, the first person you talk to every morning. And you won't be so pitiful in your relationship with God. Now, you talk to him if something gone sideways. "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I can't get out to bed, Jesus. Help me up." Jesus is not your crutch. He should be allowed to set the standard for everything in our life
through the inner works of the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll find out in a few moments, I'm not talking about legalism at all. But let me just take it a little step further. We must be willing to confront sin and compromise head on. Back to Isaiah 28, verses 6 and 7. This is a great scripture. For a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, for the strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. I want to stop there for a moment. There is a gate, and every one of you has one. Call it a filter if you want to. But it's the place of which you allow, before anything is conceptually conceived or in your mind, that it has to pass through a gate, and you have to give it access or permission to come into your mind. You have to learn, and I'll show you how to do it, rather than just to say, oh, you need to learn to do this. I'm going to show you how to do it today. But he, first of all, he's talking about that he'll turn it back, the battle, at the gate. But they also have erred through wine, through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. You know what that means? We've had some bad examples from folks. Starts with the priest, the preacher. Help us, Jesus. Because what we permit in moderation, you will take in excess. Wow, it's the truth. Amen. And many of us draw our cues from those who lead us. But they don't come from us, they come from Jesus. Yes, they should come through us, and we'll talk about that story that we have here in just a moment. So the deal is they have to be turned back at the gate. And some of you, the gates of your mind, of your spirit, are torn down. There's nothing to stop or give the enemy any opposition. We just take anything that comes through. Well, here we go. Eli lost control of his sons who were supposed to be ministering to in the house of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 and 17. First of all, now the sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. Let me stop there. How are you going to have somebody serving in the house of God and they don't know him? Something wrong with that. But I want to let you know, we do it all the time. What? We do it all the time. We're filling holes or we're filling a particular place because they're related to someone who's spiritual. We'll assume that they have the same commitment that the person that they came from. I want to tell you right now, every person will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. Mama, daddy, religion don't work up there. Grandma can pray all night long, but I tell you, you got to find Jesus for yourself. If you think you're going to run out, I'm going to come in on grandma's prayers. No, you're not. You'll be turned back at the gate. They did not know the Lord. They had no respect for their earthly father or heavenly father. And they did not respect or honor any of the standards of behavior. Here's a thing I need to tell you about Eli and his sons. His sons were, Eli was old. And as we get older, some of us, we let down the guard at the gate. So, go ahead, you just want to leave you alone. So you can watch your television. Well, I'm going to leave that alone, Jesus. I'm getting too personal now. We cannot allow the weariness to affect our devotion to the Lord. The Bible says, "We be not weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we faint not." In other words, if you feel like, I'm just getting so tired, this is wearing me out, these kids, I'll just do whatever you want to do. That is the devil working in you. You need to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You need to be on your knees constantly saying, God, this is my responsibility. I'm not going to give over to the devil. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I don't care what the devil says, we're going to do it. But it's messed up. And so, It gets a little bit worse. Our standard of behavior will impact the behavior of others, and that means this. We may not be responsible for the things that we did not know in the beginning of our life when we had an ungodly influence. I want to help some of you right now. This is a therapy session. You're all in it. You may have had an alcoholic father. You may have had an emotionally, shall I say, depleted mom who said some things that were very unkind to you or didn't treat you well. And that was how you were brought up. You may have been a subject of abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. That was your beginning. And some of us have used those particular marks, unfortunately. The enemy has compacted those things in your mind and has given you a pass card, as it were. Because those things happen to you, you are not accountable for what's going on in your life. I want to tell you today, there is deliverance, there is healing for what you've gone through. I want to tell you, it wasn't your fault. But having said that, I want to let you know there's still accountability in the Spirit of God. And let me show you how it works. The Bible says this, and actually it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 it says, when I was a child, I acted like a child, I spoke like a child, this other type of thing. But when I got older, I put away childish things. There are some things that we need to leave behind us, and the Holy Spirit will help you do that. But if you're constantly referring to what happened to you when you were younger, you'll never become who God wants you to be. When I'm talking about standard, I said, I know that God, he said, well, where was God when this stuff happened to me? He has never left you or forsaken you, and I want to give you a remedy before I sit down today. But rebellion is often a product of delayed discipline to what we knew was right all along. Eli's sons rebelled. And if you read the whole story about them, they did some despicable things in the house of God. And you know what? They knew it was wrong. But because their dad was old, they did it anyway. Some of you have been hijacked. Some of you have been hoodwinked, thinking your kids did not know what they were doing. I want you to know they're a lot smarter than you think they were. And they got the internet now. And they got Google. Google will tell them anything they want to know. Yes, it will. Matter of fact, they consult. You know, the average kid will use Google 4 times a day if they've got a smartphone. Average. They don't ask you nothing. They go to Google. They can get any information they want. You don't have to tell them that. Google is their God. Oh, Lord. But we must not confuse a standard of excellence with a standard of righteousness. They're not the same. They're not even close to the same. Let me work through this pretty quickly. Righteousness in the kingdom of God is done from pure motives. And I want to bring you to the table today to sanctify your motives of the reason why you want to do the right thing and you want to be the right person. I want to tell you furthermore, we must consider the price that Jesus paid for us when we choose to honor him with all that is in our life. How could I not serve Jesus when he gave everything for me? He held back nothing, and I owe him everything. It further means that Jesus deserves our best all the time. Now, I ain't gonna get on anybody's case. Get on my own. Sometimes we'll come to a place and we're kind of half-baked. We're just going through the motions. But he deserves our best all the time. Let me go hasten to a couple of issues. When we open the gate of our mind to anyone other than the Lord, we can expect that there are going to be problems. And that means this. We must learn to turn back the battle at the gate. What is the remedy for that? We must refrain from giving the enemy access to that part of our life. Or we must allow the Spirit to guard the gateway to our thought life. Here's how it works. Addiction to anything that is negative can only remain when the gateway of defense has been torn down. Today, I'm going to tell you from the Bible how you should think. What? I'm going to tell you today. I believe that it will be a remedy for many of you
that struggle with unrighteous thoughts, impure thoughts, or things of that nature, or you can't sort between those things? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 will help you. Well, no, I want to start with what it says there. Finally. Finally. In conclusion, before I say anything else, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, you need to get the junk out of your mind. Desperate housewives. What's that one they have on the OWN channel that, you know, the folks have been fighting back and forth for a long time? Come on, talk to me. You know who it is. Oh, all of my children have been on there forever. Those folks have never grown up, ever. They got the Peter Pan syndrome. I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. You know that one. Actually, it's a black story. Now some of the black folks are turning on the TV right now. Greenleaf. No. There you go. The haves and have-nots. You treat those folks like they're your best friends. Wouldn't miss an episode to save anything. I'm going to leave it alone for a minute. We must allow the Spirit to guard our minds to think on the right things. A stronghold of any addiction is subject to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring those into bondage into freedom. Notice I said, do you hear what I said? The stronghold of any addiction. And I know opioid addiction is something the focus of America is on. We're trying to combat it with money and this other type and penalize all the drug companies as far as that's concerned. You can put all kind of tariffs and fines on folks, but folks are still going to reach for it and they're going to find their dealer. You say, why is it that they're doing this? Because they don't know how or what to think on. The prescription is in the Bible, always been there. Whatsoever things are, their thinker is broken. They're thinking on the wrong stuff. And today will be a deliverance for some people in that particular realm. Let me get to this quickly. So, consider this. Don't chase down what you should be running away from. Write that one down. Put it on your Bible. Put it on the mirror. You'll see it every morning. Because we're running after the wrong thing. We will wear ourselves out trying to be something that God doesn't want us to be. Trying to have something God doesn't want us to have that will actually ruin us. Don't chase down those particular things. You say, well, what makes us do that? The enemy. Curiosity is often the thing that will get us into the most trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. I just want to know what it's like. That's how you got started on drugs. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. It was that first little, and then all of a sudden you couldn't wait for the next hit. Then you went to graduation. They said, you think that's something, honey? Let me show you this. I got something in my purse that will light up your life. Then the next thing you felt was all of a sudden you were addicted. That was not your intent in the beginning, but the enemy is sly. He'll start you with a little bit and not tell you that where this place is going to end up. I want every person that's in here that's been on, I don't want you to raise your hands. Please don't. We don't need to know. We already know. You act like it. You look like it. You walk like it. You think like it. There's only one thing you should be addicted to. And the Bible says, and Paul says, I'm addicted to ministry to the saints. That's an addiction that God will always will be satisfied with. I got to hasten on to, by the way, this is kind of an introduction. We're talking about standards for a couple of weeks. Now, if you stay home next week, I know what's wrong with you. The very first sin was a result of believing the lie that you shall not surely die. What? You mean God didn't tell me the truth? I'm not going to die. Give me that pomegranate. Remember, we know it. It was a pomegranate. Don't let anybody ever tell you it wasn't a pomegranate. It was a pomegranate. God will make it difficult for you to sin, but once you sort through them seeds, it's yours, okay? Before a thought can lodge in your mind, it should be met at the gate with the word of God. Can I give you a clue how that happened? Jesus comes out of the garden, or out of the wilderness, and whenever the devil comes against him, it is written. It is written. Say it with me. It is written. You need to find out what the Bible says. And the Bible addresses every situation you'll ever face. The Bible has standards. I need to hasten on a little bit because there's a couple of things we cannot miss. Jesus must be the source of all of our standards. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. I'll read through this quickly because I need to finish this today. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not know believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Go on to the next two verses, please. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Look at me. The Holy Spirit will live and reside in each and every one of you, and you will never have to find yourself in a place where you don't know what to do. He's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week consultant to anything you'll face in this life. Let me show you that real quickly, how that works. Listen to what I'm asking you today. You must decide today who's going to set the standards for your life. Options? Yeah, you have a free will. But let me show you how this works. You may have started with a rough beginning, but you can decide how the ending's going to look. You may have started as an abused person. You may have started as a person that was raised by a person on drugs. You may have started in poverty as far as, but you get to make a decision at what the end is going to look like because the Holy Spirit is here to lead you into all truth and righteousness. Maybe you don't have a choice of where you lived or who parented you, but I want to let you know that Jesus is here to take you to another level of where you'll have his Holy Spirit as your constant influence. It means this, that you must make a decision before the trial comes your way. You need to decide today how it's going to be then. Don't wait till then to decide. Decide today that when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to raise up the standard of Jesus against him. Where he took me before, I'm not going there again. All your help comes to the Lord. Our standards are built on convictions, not guilt. Let me show you the difference between convictions and guilt. Guilt is something that the enemy will use based upon something you did before. And then it says, here you go again. But convictions are the fact that, how dare I do this thing and sin against God? I'm convicted of the fact that I've given my heart over to Jesus. And from this point on, I belong to him. My conviction is I love Jesus. He loves me. And he'll, no matter what I face, he'll be there for me. That means, furthermore, that the Holy Spirit is the umpire of our spirit. He will lead you to all righteousness that is not of yourself. Lead them to righteousness that is not of yourself. And he will give you the power to apply good judgment that will lead to truth and freedom. I will be the first one to vote for this one. I have done some stupid things in my life. And it was cards carrying stupid, and it was decisions I made merely out of stupidity because I wanted it then. I wasn't going to willing to wait for it, and the results were the fact I can't blame anyone but me. But you know what? That's your story too. Because some of you here are as stupid as I have been. Stupid, stupid, stupid. You should get the cartoon Three Stupid Dogs. It's cute. No, Google it. You talk about three stupid dogs. They go around mocking each other, but they're stupid. And they do stupid stuff. I want to let you know, when you hang around stupid people, you're going to do stupid stuff. Help us, Jesus. Listen to me. We must decide who is going to set our standards. Oh, you got some stuff to make before you leave this door today. How about this? Will entertainment, eating, relaxation, worship, finances, relationships are all the things that we must have boundaries managed by the Holy Spirit. He said, you've got worship in there. What do you mean you got to manage worship? All the worship you do is not in this building. Worship is, we want to say worship, oh, hands lifted high, oh, the Holy Spirit's in the room. Mm-mm. Some of you worship your house. You worship your car. It gets more attention than Jesus does. You will fall apart. If this gets a scratch on that bumper, you have a meltdown. You're racing to the body. So get it off there. It doesn't deserve that. It deserves better. And the higher the value of the car, the more you worship it. That's just how it works. But I don't say trash your car, but I'm saying this. You got to decide today what you're going to do. What are going to be your standards? Your standards may be different from someone else's. Don't make your standards like somebody else's. How about this? Your standards should never violate the commandment, and this is the one thing that will help you, because I'll have to stop here in just a moment. The love of the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the supreme standard that Jesus gave out to all of us. And it's this introduction of what needs to happen. Let me leave you with these three last comments. I'll put them on the screen for you, and we're done for the day. Your standard of behavior should embrace the joy of serving Jesus. Number one, always give Jesus your best. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You say, well, sometimes I'm just tired. That's an excuse. Jesus went up a hill, carried his cross half the way there after taking a horrible beating. I just can't imagine society. You know what? I am done. I ain't carrying no more crosses. I ain't going up nobody's hill. These folks can go to hell, and I don't really care. No, that's how some of you would be. No. And after Peter denied me, oh, no. Homie is done. I'm so glad you weren't Jesus. Number two, come on up here, worship team. That'll help me get off the stage. Always put God first in everything. Here's the giving part. I told you, I promised. Especially giving. I had a situation happen to me just a few days ago. I'm a couple of minutes over. Please let me do this. And I was coming out of Safeway store, and there's this fellow there, and the Lord said, give him some money. I looked in my wallet. I had a $5 bill and a $1 bill. You know which one I reached for, don't you? Yeah, I reached for the one. Yes, I did. And I was on my way over there with this $1 bill. God said, stop right now. The one belongs to you. The five belongs to him. I was ticked. Show you what a Christian. I said, $5? Somebody else can give him some more money. He'll be there for another. He'll have $5 in a few minutes. I'm talking about how you would act. Let me help you. We're talking about standards. God is a God of generosity. He's not a cheapskate. So before I got over to him, I put the dollar back, gave him the $5, and you think I gave him $1 million. The man broke out in tears, thanked me and thanked me. He says, you don't know what this means to me. He says, people have ignored me all morning long. I really need this money. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you the last one. Worship God with your whole heart. Wow. I know some of you are still stuck with the guy in the $5. That's okay. I did that on purpose. Because I want to sow something in you in these next years when we talk about standards. You haven't given until you sacrificed. You haven't given until you've given something you'd want to keep for yourself. And I believe that God is going to teach us in the next few weeks about standards. And believe me, there's nothing in here of us trying to move you to a place of, you know, you got to be like me, do it like I'm doing it. But we're going to set up the gates that should be properly in your mind that'll keep the wrong things out and the right things in. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody do it. Everybody. Some of you are wrestling right now because in these next few moments, the Holy Spirit is redirecting your thought life to a place maybe that you're going to have to visit, and hopefully not ever again, but today you will. Because you know the standards of your life are kind of running rampant and you're unpredictable. You try to shut it off on your own, but you find yourself making random decisions, and it's not getting any better. Matter of fact, it's getting worse. I need to tell you straight up, you need Jesus. And he's here today. I'm going to pray in the next moment, but I'm going to pray specifically for those people who says, you know what? I discovered, if nothing else, I need Jesus to set the standards for my life. I don't need someone to referee all of my decisions in the fact of condemning me. But the standards of loving the Lord, my God, with all my heart, my mind, and my soul, and my neighbors, myself, I don't have that standard. But I want it. In the next few minutes after I pray, I'm praying for the people here that would say, you know, I want to give up. I want to surrender to Jesus today and allow him to have first place in my life. Let me pray first, and then I'll ask you the question. Lord Jesus, some of us wince at the idea of there being standards, and we look at it as legalism of people telling us what to do and what not to do. Lord, you've already told us. And for those of us who've experienced the Holy Spirit, he's there all the time, not condemning us, but convicting us. And convicting means the fact of us having to remember how much Jesus has loved us in the midst of our misgivings and our sinful behavior. Lord, I ask for a blanket of your Holy Spirit to come over every person in this room. And would you tell them today there's hope? Would you tell them today there's forgiveness? Would you tell them today they can start all over again and they can love you with all their soul, their mind, and their strength? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I need a spiritual awakening, a spiritual overhaul so I can surrender to Jesus on that level. If that's you, lift your hand right now. If that's you, lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up high. Lift it up high right now in Jesus' name. Leave it up there just for a moment, because there's about 3 more people need to join, and do it right now in Jesus' name. Don't let the devil cheat you. Yeah. Okay, you can put those hands down. In the moment, we're going to stand together, and every person that lifted their hand, I want you to make your way to this altar. No one's going to condemn you for that. Matter of fact, they'll be applauding the fact that you're turning your life over to Jesus, and he's going to change you from the inside out. And we're going to walk this journey in the next few weeks on standards. And freedom's going to come to all of us, to the place where we'll be living under the oppression of religion.
but under the freedom of liberty through Jesus. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you who lift your hands, step out right now. Step out right now. Come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.